Blog Talk Radio.
Putting your finger to your lips and saying, shh, listen,
might get a compliment out of this. So don't jump so fast. Be ready to receive the love. Be ready to receive the knowledge. And know that when the student, not just the student in school, not just the academic student, but the person as a student of life, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. I want you to hear that again. Because the title can be, you know, we overlook sometimes the title and what it's really conveying to us. Listen again. When the student, meaning you and I, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Now, who's the teacher? The teacher isn't necessarily the one that stood in front of you in the classroom. The teacher can be the one inside of yourself. You could be your own teacher. And then you also have our God as your teacher, as number one. So the number one teacher in your life is God. The second teacher is yourself. And the third teacher or teachers are the people that have been around you in your environment, that have experienced you, that have seen you grow, that have looked at you change and grow. Hopefully, you've grown. Because if you're listening to this show, you're one of the people who have grown in this life. Because you wouldn't be channeled into us right now. So it's real important for you to kind of pat yourself on your back and say, hey, I'm doing okay here. Not just because Professor Applewhite says I'm doing okay, but I agree with her that I'm doing okay. Now, I know that some of you are either on the computer with me or you are listening by telephone. But either way, I want you to push the button or call back in, however. You know what? I don't know how that's done, but I know that there's a button push that you can actually join in the show with us. If you're on the computer, just call in to 1-646-727-3758. And remember, I do have a chat room for those of you who are somewhat a little shy to speak on air. And I'm starting the chat session for you right now. So as the chat room is created, know that I will be checking it during the show. And I will be able to respond to you before the show ends. Okay? So make sure you utilize that option if you don't want to go on live air with me, okay? Especially if you want to share a story that relates somewhat to the description of the show, which is about that we've invited guests to come on the show. We always do. We send out an invitation to guests all over the world, and we're always hoping that they'll come on line with us at the time of the show, but many times it's not comfortable depending on where they are and their time zone. But we thank them very much for accepting the invitation, and we especially thank over 10,000 now listeners who have plugged into the show and listened to archived shows after they're done. Remember, you never miss a show on Blog Talk Radio because the shows are archived. They are saved. And the only thing you have to do is go to a computer, log in to blogtalkradio.com with a /student2teacher and use the number 2. And when you do that, you'll come into the show, and all you have to do, I would appreciate if you register so that you can make a comment on the show. It would be really great. But we're going to talk about today how we expect you to share your views. And for those who have already shared their views, I have a few case studies that I'd like to share with you maybe I shouldn't call them case studies, but it's hard for me to speak outside the fact that I am an educational psychologist, so I sometimes go back into that realm. On this show here, I really like to get down with you and just talk, you know what I mean? And I know that what position I hold academically, but I'm just good old Danita Applewhite. Danita Applewhite is online with you, and tell me your name and tell me what your issues are or comments, and I'll take those into account. I really will. Because I send out love and peace everywhere I go. And that's why I'm willing to do this show. We get no compensation for doing this show. It's totally volunteer. Our staff, White Apple Institute, is totally volunteer staff. And we want to talk about self-image today and how we relate to others. Now, this is a really big topic, and we're going to do part one of four today of when a student is ready to teach or peers. But there's lots of things we need to understand when we call ourselves a student. And we're usually looking outside of ourselves as a teacher, but remember what I was saying to you earlier, that God is the first teacher, and then ourselves. Teach ourselves, and then we teach others how to treat us. And so we expect that you will continue to be with us as we finish the show today. And if I have lost you to the technical issues, please hang in there with me. I'm not sure if you can hear me talking, but I am coming back online again for some technical difficulties. And as you can expect, we're in the computer world. And so I'm going back into this before now. Don't leave me. Stay online with me. I think we're still online here. Yes, we are. Okay. Sorry about that interruption. We'll try not to let that happen again, but I really don't know how to avoid that. Okay? My proficiency in computers is limited, but I'll get out to you. I know how to get out to you. We thank Nazim Rashid for not only sharing his book Reconnected with us, which a lot of material that I use comes from that book, Reconnected, and it'll be on the market this summer, I believe, at Barnes & Noble's bookstore. And Nazim Rashid was our previous co-host and now has his own show, Mentor Man, that follows the student-to-teacher show. So we look forward to you joining us on that show also, Mentor Man, and the same call letters, blogtalkradio.com/mentorman. So I'd like you to remember today that we are all students. We are all students. I agree with you with that one. Here's what becomes the challenge. But we are also all teachers. Yes, we are. You're a teacher. I'm a teacher, and you're a teacher. And I don't mean on the academic level, standing in front of a classroom with 30 or more people. I mean that we actually learn things from other people, which makes us a learner, too. And we also teach things to other people. And you might be saying, well, I don't teach anybody anything. Oh, surely you do. Because I guarantee you some people observe your behavior. And they watch it and sometimes follow the example that you set. And observation is a key method of teaching people. They observe our behavior. So I'm going to start with that very, very basic point that I want you to really think about. Yes, you are a teacher. And at various times in our lives, according to our description of today's show, we improve ourselves. You hear that? We improve ourselves when teaching and learning from others. Whenever we teach something We reinforce what we already know. That's right. It could be something so simple as someone coming up to me and giving me an idea about how my roses can grow more effectively. And you say, well, that's not really teaching. Oh, sure it is. But the neighbor that's wonderful that he teaches me how to take care of my roses, and I really appreciate him for that. I have people that teach me things, and some of them haven't even had a high school diploma. And they feel uncomfortable when I say to them, thank you for being such a great teacher. And they're like, I'm not a teacher. Oh, my goodness. You know, you're the professor. I'm not teaching you anything. Well, yes, they are. Because when we come out of the classroom, really come out of the classroom, and this is for you teachers out there, too. When we come out of the classroom, we are just human beings just like everyone else. When we're in the classroom, it's our career, it's our job. But outside of that classroom, when we get home to our children or our husband, when we're in the privacy of our bedrooms, we are not Mr. Somebody or Professor Somebody. But we're still, in one way or another, a teacher and a student. Interchangeable roles with each other. But you know the interesting part about all of this? You make sure that you will guarantee you that it's going to be something else. One of the things that I'd like to expand on today is the four different concepts that I want to. I don't know how to get my life back together. I don't know how to even begin to start thinking about school. And since I lost my job and I get turned down, I don't even know how to get a job anymore. And then with the unemployment check, I don't have that. I mean, we can go on and on and on again about the problems, the obstacles that you have to knowing who you are and the things you need and want. So make sure that before we go on a journey of I'm ready to go back to school, I'm ready to go back to work, that you've already done a survey of what you already know, number one. Just sit down and think about who you are. And I promise you, you will come up with some very, very wonderful things about yourself. I do this a lot with people who are trying to develop their resumes. And they'll sit there, and I tell you this is true for hours sometimes. Not with me because I charge by the hour, but on the phone or a day after or a week after, they might then begin to think about what they want to put on the resume. Because up until that point, they're like, I don't know. I don't have anything. I don't know. I haven't done anything. And before you know it, I've got a letter from a teacher. They said, oh, wow, yeah, a teacher did one time. She gave me a certificate for being on time and my attendance was good. I said, fantastic. We'll put that on your resume. They said, oh, well, that was way back in junior high school. That doesn't matter. It's part of who you are. It makes gives the appearance of responsibility. It gives the appearance that you know who you are, you know yourself, and you know your accomplishments. You've achieved something. So don't shoot down anything about what you know about yourself. So think about that. Then move on to things we need and want. And then I want you to start assessing your educational abilities. Now, you said, well, how do I do that? Come on, Apple, how do I do that? You know, a lot of people call me Apple. You want to know how to do an educational assessment? Start with a community college. They will give you a free assessment. Yes, they will. A free assessment of your educational, your academic capabilities, math, English, reading, all of it. In addition to that, you don't want to go to community college? Guess what? You can go to the library and do your own self-assessment. There are plenty of books. Ask the librarian. Come on now, you're on your way. Once you listen to this show or you've come in touch with some people that are involved in personal development, then you're already on the road. Don't keep on trucking, baby. Put that foot out there, one foot before another, and get to that library or get to that community college. And take an assessment. So now you have this assessment in your hand that tells you some things about yourself. It's not about passing. Assessment is not about passing. It's about looking at where you are and what you have to offer the world at this moment. The moment that you get a piece of paper back in your hand, and it tells you what your math level is, it tells you what your reading level is. Okay. And the course is going to tell you something about your interests and what your abilities are. So an assessment, an educational assessment, is extremely important. Oh, that's continue. There's so many more questions about the picture. Writing to me here at the show at blogtalkradio.com, or you can write into me at kapplewhite@epella.edu or danitaapplewhite@yahoo.com. There's a lot of different ways to connect with me, so there's no reason in the world why you should say, well, I can't find her. I'm here, and I'm all over Google. Just Google me. And let's see. Oh, my telephone number. The telephone number of the White Apple Institute is 480-471-8082. Let me give that to you again. 480-471-8082. All right, my friends, let's move on to the next step. Now you've got, you've sat down and you've done your own survey of what you know, what your knowledge base is. You've identified the things that you need and the things that you want to have in this life, because that's going to motivate you. Well, you've gone down to the library or the community college and you've got an assessment of where you stand academically and what your interests are. Now you're ready to prepare for work. You're ready to prepare your skills and education and put them all together in like a resume format. There's nothing more wonderful than doing a resume, because a resume makes you feel good when you look at it and you can see, this is me. This is me. Look at me. Look what I've done. Praise God. Look what I've been able to accomplish in my life. I don't care if it's a half a page. It's something, because believe me, you keep on this track, doing what you're doing right now, that resume is going to come down to 2 pages. You know what I used to do with my resume? I used to post it in front of me. Any accomplishments that I've had in my life, I post them in front of me. Why? Not to show off. It's not about showing off. It's about remembering and continuing to motivate myself. And if you don't have a piece of paper to show it, write it down. Supervisor gave me a compliment. Said I did a great job with the laundry room. Yeah, the laundry room. You're saying, what laundry room? Yes, because I'm talking to not just teachers, to not just students of biology. I'm talking about people who are working in jobs where they feel they're going nowhere. That doesn't mean if you take care of laundry or if you're a caregiver or you're a housekeeper, it doesn't mean that you don't have the capability to move further. And it certainly does not mean that's the bottom of the barrel, because there are many people that enjoy that. And believe it or not, there are many people that have helped me get to just that step, and they've been happy. So never put that down. Never think that that's nothing and that's unimportant, because it is. So as you're preparing your way for work, you know that you have to assess your skills and your education, which you've already done. But guess what? There's something else that's so important. Can't do that. And it's your attitude. Oh, baby, it's your attitude. Your attitude can wipe you out in a minute. Your attitude towards other people, your attitude towards yourself. You know, culture. If somebody says culture to you, we usually think of black and white and Native American and Asian or whatever. But no. Culture is your attitude, your value system, and your belief system. Yeah, that's right. Now, that's influenced sometimes by the ethnic group that you come from and the religion that that ethnic group practices. Sometimes that influences your culture. But most often, especially in today's world, it does not. People break away from those traditions, and they want to find their own way. Well, bless you for that, because you want to be able to be your own person and to do what brings you joy. What would life be worth if you didn't have some kind of joy in it? So your joy is in preparing and looking at your attitude towards others, how open you are to the fact that other people are going to have, they're going to have differences. And that's one of the reasons why it's so hard for us to break out and get into sharing with others and talking with others, to socializing. It's because some of us don't want to tolerate the differences of other people. You know, we hang around people that reflect the same thing that we reflect or that we've been told to reflect. And when we start stepping out of that box, then we start acknowledging other people and their differences. For instance, this is, and some of you may be able to relate to this. Here it is. You finally found that you like. You finally found it. Now you have to deal with people. You may say to me, "Oh, come on. I don't have to deal with anybody. I'm just going in there. I'm going to send in mine, or I'm just going to talk to me. What do I have to learn before? I work on my own." Okay? That is incorrect information. Even if you owned your own business, especially if you owned your own business, you're going to interact with people because you have to sell a product. You have to produce in order to get a paycheck to make some profit. Well, here you go. When you are working, you have to produce something. You have to produce when you're working for someone else. You did a show not too long ago with reading on Will. To show the research that's been done to show that we are all working for ourselves. We are all self-employed. We have to produce or we are gone. A production or producing something for your employer so you can keep your job goes back to that one thing I just mentioned a little while ago, and that is your attitude. And we have a caller online, and we want to make sure that we include everyone that wants to call in. And we'll get that caller on there in just a moment. Hello, caller, you're on air. This is Professor Applewhite. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello, caller, you're on air. This is Professor Applewhite.
Hello, and Dr. Applewhite.
Hello there. This is a familiar
voice.
Hi, this
is Kim calling from San Francisco.
Kim Owens is on our board of directors, and thank you so much for calling in this morning.
Hello, I've enjoyed the show.
What a pleasure to have you on our show this morning. And we're talking about right now about attitudes and how to relate to others and how important that is when you're on the job, okay? And how important it is to get a job is to show that you can relate to other people, to do anything in this life. Don't you agree, Ms. Owens, that you have to be able to relate, to overcome some of the differences that people have?
Yes, I do agree, Apple. I remember one person telling me one day that, you know, 95% of what we do when we walk out of our door is our attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 5% is what people perceive of us and what
right.
they think of us. So we want the listeners to really know that attitude is everything.
Yes.
It is everything.
Yes.
And then to make sure that we can broaden our own horizons, our own minds, and it'll allow us to be a lot more open-minded. That's the key, I think, in getting the job, most importantly, and also for the person that's interviewing you. They also have to be open-minded and have a great attitude.
You know, you run a woman's group home, a group home for women who have mental health issues,
yes.
serious mental health issues. Am I correct?
Yes.
And you also teach them. You run a class, as we were talking about earlier. All of us are students and all of us are teachers. Do you feel that you learn from the
yes.
people that you teach?
I'm sorry if I'm breaking up.
I want to hug you right now.
I'm trying to enjoy the show. My apologies if we're breaking up. I'm trying to enjoy the show, but I'm driving and also participating.
Yes, yes. And as we move on and you have to leave the phone or it breaks up, we will definitely understand. We appreciate you taking the effort to even call in this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go on to the next one here. That people have to know who they are. They have to understand the things that they need and the things that they want.
Yes.
And then they have to prepare for either even volunteering or even helping other people. Just like in the group home that you run, you have
mm-hmm.
to teach how to work with other people. You've worked with attitude a lot, I bet.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's a field of work that's very difficult for most people, but I love it because it's about caring for people. And everyone don't have that ability, but it is something that we can obtain and learn how to do. Our world is much
yeah.
smaller than many people know, and thank God for shows like yours and the Internet. It allows the world, once they're able to get a hold of technology, to understand that we are all interconnected, every one of
yeah.
us.
That's
and
right.
it's a joy when we're able to be able to, even if we don't understand the language, maybe someone can translate this to an entire village.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes.
it takes a village for all of us to work. It takes a village. Whether we have PhDs, masters, no degree, it takes a village.
Mm-hmm.
It was a village before there were degrees. And so I think that's what we forget sometimes
yes.
as professionals.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We forget the many factors about how we become truly successful. And it's not just about working on a job. Sometimes it's just
Absolutely.
About helping another individual, about
Absolutely.
Volunteering your time, about just being a good person and looking for ways that you can, you know, grow by reading books, by looking at shows that are educational, and by just
yeah.
experiencing things.
Yeah.
You know, so I hope that you're teaching them all these factors, because it's real important
yeah.
that they understand how to assess what they know, and when they are ready, whoever you're teaching, not necessarily the group that you're working with, but whoever you come in contact with, because I know from knowing you, Kim, that you are going to go on and build other group homes. And some of them will be, some of your clientele will be at different levels of education. And so in
yeah.
knowing that, we know that you're going to be working with people who have to reflect a personality and interest and lifestyle that makes it work for them, and you're going to be a reinforcer, a motivator to make those things happen. You already are.
You Thank you, Dr. White. And you're absolutely a motivator to, I'm sure, 10,000 or 20,000 listeners, we hope, that they're all there listening, because this is a great show.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, actually, it's past 10,000 now. It's amazing that this show has grown that level. And we find that one of the things that we cannot ignore is that part of our growth, and I mentioned earlier, that change is necessary. We are all going to change, but spiritual growth is optional. And most of us do not understand the formula of TMS. The TMS formula is not associated with physical, mental, and spiritual maturity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so that's where we get into understanding more about how we need to adopt attitudes. It's not being phony, it's just surviving. You have to adjust your attitude to fit into the environment that you're in.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether you are in a group home and you're there either temporarily or permanently, or you're in a prison setting, or you're just going to school for just a few courses. You don't
right.
have to be involved in a career option. Excuse me. There's differences between this going for a job and then going after a career.
Right.
You know, a career requires your personality, your interests. It requires a lot more than just getting a job. A job is what we talked about earlier. A job takes care of those basic needs. Those basic needs and maybe some of those wants. But if you want those wants to increase, then you need to go into a career option. And sometimes a job becomes a career. Sometimes people start off as security guards just to have a job, or even start off at McDonald's flipping hamburgers or Burger King or whatever. And then they start moving. They say, hey, this is not so bad. I like this. And they become managers. And then they find out the benefits of being part of that organization. It's not so bad. And then that job has become a career now. But it still requires those basic things I talked about, knowing yourself, knowing what you need and want, assessing your education. Even if you've done it 10 years ago, you need to do it again. Preparing your skills, getting your skills together, always improving yourself and how you relate to others, in other words, your attitude, and planning.
Yeah.
Planning, you plan. If you don't plan, I've been planning for many years, Kim. You went all over the world, as far as I know. I mean, Sweden and other places, Finland. Is that right?
Yes, Apple.
And so when you did that, not only did you grow exponentially, you grew and grew and grew. You know, spiritually, along with changing, your body went through the changes, and then your mind and your spirituality also grew with doing something like that. What a great thing! What a great experience that.
Yes.
But when we did that, you can see that it changed your attitude. It changed the way you look at life. And when you look at planning now, even though it's a group home and it's not a basketball court, I bet you find some association where you strategize. Am I right or wrong?
You're absolutely correct. And actually, on air, I just have to make one correction, Apple. We're an adult care home.
Mm-hmm.
We're an adult
okay.
care home.
It's right.
Slight difference
yes.
between group home and care home. We're an adult
yes,
care
that's
home.
Right. And would you just.
Hello?
Versus
adult
care.
Hello, I think you're breaking up just a little.
Okay. Well, let me just say the difference. I was asking for the difference between a group home and an adult care home. Did you hear that?
Yeah, a group home is more for a teenage setting and a juvenile setting, and
mm-hmm.
an adult care home is specifically what it says, adult, residential, and care home. So we provide care for adults who
mm-hmm.
have special needs. And we have many people around the world who have special needs, especially in other places and other countries. It would be great
mm-hmm.
to go and visit those countries and mentor many of the social workers and Red Cross workers, various ones who are in these countries who are really trying to make a difference. And they look to America a lot of times for the answers. So the
mm-hmm.
great thing about talk radio is when we get one or two of those volunteers or people who are doing humanitarian work in other countries, they have radio. And it gives
mm-hmm.
the opportunity for people to hear us and to hear us say, hey, you know, we're reaching out to you people as well. All of us have the same issues, whether it's the United States or whether it's, you know, North Korea. You know,
yeah.
the reality is we all have the same issues. The point is when we become more open-minded about exactly what you're talking about in your show, some
yeah.
of the issues in our attitudes, we'll realize that we're all interconnected. We really are,
right.
whether we have a disability or not. Some of my clients who have a disability are some of the smartest people I know.
Oh, yes.
They're some of the smartest people I know. We have to give them credit sometimes.
That's right. Lots of credit because they're coming over that label, that horrible label of disability. And I just want to read our listeners out there. I want you to understand this. D-I-S, this. Means it's disconnected from the word, first off. The word itself, like when we talk about, we're really talking about ability and dissing your ability. And we're not going to diss our abilities. We're going I already have used the term many people. And so you're working with people who are differently able that have other skills outside of the workforce. And they are still trying their best to knowing themselves, overcoming the medication, overcoming the situation that they're in. And it may take years. You know,
it may take years,
knows?
Absolutely.
It may take a very long time, but they have to start somewhere. And just like we said earlier, the stop this is the show. That's a great start. Just listening and listening. Okay?
Okay. Hello, I'm bringing up Dr. Applewhite. I may have to end the call.
Go ahead and end the call now. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much, and it's always great listening to the show. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. Please try to log in to our show and get a comment about the people on the show. Okay?
Okay, Apple. Love you a lot.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Take care.
I'm serious, you might laugh, but it's serious. This is stuff that really happens. And, you know, people write in or call in to me and say, listen, what do I do with this coworker? I want to just quit because they're cracking gum. They chew gum, and it just craps in my ear, and I can't stand it. And they also need some deodorant. They smell, or they cook food at lunchtime that goes all through the lunchroom and smells up everything. And it smells bad. And then they come back to the desk smelling the way the food smells all day, and I have to deal with that, and I don't like it. Now, this was a young lady that was working in a customer service job where she was on the phone with customers. She worked for a call center. And people next to her, you know, on the right and the left of her, she had to communicate with, no matter what. She could say to me in a minute, you know, well, I'm only talking to a customer on the phone. But no, that's not correct. You're also dealing with coworkers, and you're dealing with their issues. And, you know, like a perfect example, too, is people that touch you a lot, you know, and they try to hug you a lot, or they slap you on the back. How about that one? You know, I've heard that a lot. You know, I wish they would stop slapping me on the back or asking me to touch my hair or any of those things. Those can be very, very aggravating, you know, or somebody comes to work and they're talking about things that you don't really want to even talk about with them. You know, their sex life the night before. They talk loudly, you know. They just really come in with a temper or noisy. You know, there's all kinds of things that we can come up with that can make it sometimes unbearable to work on the job. Because we have to understand human relations. We have to understand how to deal with our attitude and their attitudes when change happens. And growth. Your growth is most important because you cannot make another person grow. It's you to change your attitude and allow yourself to grow. That's back the title. It's when you are ready to make the change happen. And I know you're saying, Apple, I cannot change another person. So what are you talking about, make the change happen? I'm talking about the change in you. When the student is ready, the teacher inside of us appears. And it tells us how to deal with those people, those coworkers that do very, very annoying things to us, and how that fits into the way we plan where we're going to work, plan where we're going to go to school. When we're planning all those things, we have to take into account that we're not going to let anyone else and their issues stop us. I'm sorry to say, and it hurts me so badly, when I'm working with someone, sometimes for years, and they get a job or they get into a school program that they really wanted to be in, and just because of another person, doesn't even have to be the instructor, but sometimes it's the instructor or the employer, the boss, if you will, that makes a decision about that person, and that person quits. I have one student I'd like to share with you that she was always broke. She was always talking about, you know, she didn't have any money because she spent all of her money on name brand clothing and purses, and she was always talking about that, and then she would borrow money from other coworkers. In addition to the fact that she was supposed to wear a uniform, like a lab coat, because that's what, you know, the environment that she worked in, and she refused to get a lab coat because she didn't want to cover up her nice clothing. Second, she was always giving the excuse that she didn't have enough money Thank you for hanging in there. Again, for some reason, we were cut off. I'm based in Arizona here, and we're having a really, really rough weather, unusual weather. It's extremely cold here, and I don't know if that has anything to do with the wiring and cable, but please excuse that interruption in our service. So I was talking about, let's just call her Jan. I was talking about Jan and her the factor that Jan does not want to buy the uniform and continually complains about being broke to other coworkers. And what happened to her, the bottom line, is that she knew she was going to get fired, okay? And we have a lot of people that do this. When they know they're going to get fired, they go ahead and they quit before they get fired, which they believe in their heads that that helps them in some way. It's better than getting fired. Well, in the sense that if you're fired, you can at least fight for unemployment. When you quit, you cannot, okay? And so at least, you know, under most conditions. So what I want to suggest to you is that we try our best to expand our attitude towards people like Jan and maybe help them to grow. And if they don't, we need to be able to say, you know what, I wish that you would stop talking to me about your personal life. It's not my interest. And that's hard to say, to step away from the situation and let somebody know. You know, especially when we talk about deodorant and smells and that kind of thing, I've advised people to go out and just get deodorizers and put it on a person's desk, you know, deodorant and that kind of thing. So listen, we're going to continue this conversation next week, and I hope that some of you will call in or get friends to call in, and we're going to play a little bit of River Nile Remembrance from Nazim Rashid and thank him very much for his... Thank you so much for joining us. This is Professor Applewhite. I wish you much love and peace, and remember, when the student is ready, the teacher appears.